Morning. Today's daf and tzivos is daf dalid. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned with Zechariah Nishmas Liba, Gabriel Bashmul, Warren Gimel Amrid Beis. The third day of the Masechta, we are continuing from the Braisa that we saw yesterday. The Braisa discussed that the Chachamim fundamentally instituted that women should get married on a Wednesday, as we already discussed for a couple of days. The reason why Wednesday is chosen as the day for marriage is because the next day, Beis Din convenes on a Thursday. The husband finds that there was a problem with the marriage, so he can go to Beis Din and report to Beis Din, as we discussed already for the last couple of days. The Chachamim instituted marriage on Wednesday. Is there any room of flexibility? Can the wedding date be moved? Or I should say not the date, but rather the day. Can the wedding day be moved? So if you remember yesterday, that was the Bryce's discussion. The Bryce said, under circumstances, yes, the wedding can be moved. Wedding can be moved to a Tuesday, and the wedding could also be moved to a Monday. The Braisa was a little bit vague in terms of explaining why the wedding day is moved to Tuesday or Monday. The Braisa used the following language. You can see the Braisa on the top of Gimel Amud Beis. I'm just going to review the wording of the Braisa, just so that we are comfortable with the Gemara coming up in just a moment. Look at the Braisa. I'll just start it from the beginning again. I'm just rereading the Braisa from yesterday. Mimnei Ma'amru starts on the top of Gimel Amud Beis. I'm not starting from here. I'm just going over the Braisa. Mimnei Ma'amru Basul Nisus Yom Revi. So why is the wedding on Wednesday? Shimai Lo Tanis Basul Mayem Ashkelon Beis Din. So there's Tanis Basul. If there's a claim that his wife was not a Basula, so you could run to Beis Din on Thursday. V'tinase Be'echa B'Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, okay, well, Beis Din also convenes on Monday. Why not get married on Sunday? So the Gemara gives the answer. V'mayi Lo Tanis Basul. So the Gemara's answer is that the Chachamim Institute, there has to be 3 days of preparation. The concept of Shaktu. So you can't get married on a Sunday because you don't have 3 days of consecutive preparation. Okay, period. I'm sorry. Adkan, that's the first part of the Braisa, just telling us that even though in theory there are two good days to get married, Sunday and Wednesday, because those are the days that precede the opening of the court, but nevertheless, the Chachamim only looked at Wednesday and not a Sunday because of another concern of preparation for the wedding. And then the Braisa goes on to describe, Umi Sakana ve'elech. Now, from the point of Sakana going forward, Nago Amlechnos Bishlishi. So because of some danger, so you can back the wedding up to Tuesday. Then the Braisa continues. I'm sorry, Velo Michu B'yadam Chachamim. And the Chachamim didn't protest, meaning, okay, they acquiesced. See, it seems the simple reading of the Braisa is begrudgingly, but they acquiesced. Uvisheni lo yichnos v'imach masaonis mutter. Now, what about Monday? So you shouldn't get married on a Monday, but if it's an ones, if it's something that was some sort of unforeseen situation, so then it would be permissible to get married on a Monday. And then the Braisa goes on, and we're gonna deal with the second half of the Braisa later this morning. Okay, but that's the basic idea. Wednesday is the principal day to get married. For a Sakana, it can be backed up to Tuesday, and for an Ones, it can get backed up to Monday. So obviously, the Braisa is speaking in very vague terms, so we need to define what is a Sakana and what's an Ones. So if you remember yesterday, let's do this outside. If you remember yesterday, we already described what a Sakana was. What's a Sakana? So, Tibal Hegmon Betchila. So the Gemara yesterday explained that, unfortunately, the practice back then was a non-Jewish officer would come, and he would demand that he gets to sleep with the newlywed, with the bride, before the actual husband does. It's terrible. So as a result of that, so you could back the wedding up one day, and if you remember that we said yesterday in the Gemara, so why Nahagu? Why is it like, okay, you want to back up to Tuesday? Okay, you can. Meaning the Gemara's question they asked yesterday was, shouldn't the Chachamim just uninstitute their institution? I know that wasn't a real word, but yeah, thank you. That's better. That's much better. So shouldn't they abolish your institution? In other words, this is a very serious issue. So the Gemara gives a great historical perspective. The Gemara says, look, the Chachamim understood that the non-Jews that make a gzera, the gzera is going to come, the gzera is going to go. But our takana is going to stay. So, okay, so for the temporary time that we have to deal with this, so we're going to have to move the weddings to Tuesday. But begrudgingly, not really begrudgingly, in other words, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that it's just temporary. And then when the non-Jews feel that, you know, they moved on, so to say, so then the takana stays in place. Good. That's all what we saw yesterday. And now we're moving on to the next part of the braisa, where the braisa says it's as a result of ones, so you can move it back to Monday. So, next. What do we mean by ones? That's what we're up to in the Gemara. So, it's about two-thirds of the way down in the Gemara. Uvisheni lo yichnos. Okay, the first word in the line is misfeka. And we are continuing from yesterday. The Gemara says, "Rishenu lo yechnas v'machmas onis mutter." So on Monday you don't get married, but if it's an ones, so you get married on a Monday. So my ones. So what does that mean? So ilei mahad amaran. Is it that the hegemon is coming into town? And let's say they're not coming into town on Wednesday. Let's say they're coming into town Tuesday. And so maybe what the Gemara is now suggesting is that's why we're backing up to Monday. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the pshat. Can't be the pshat. Hasam karelei sakana v'hachi karelei ones. First of all, just textually, when describing the hegemon coming to town, so there the term that was used was sakana. Here the term that's being used is ones. It's a different term. So and v'su, and furthermore, hasam nagu hakamutter. And furthermore, says the Gemara, when it comes to the hegemon, what was the language that was employed in the Braisa? Nahagu. They practiced the wedding to be moved to Tuesday. Here, what's the language that's used in the Braisa? Mutter. It's absolutely permissible. So it's a whole different tone. So it can't be that. So Amar Rava, so the Gemara now is going to give two answers. A short answer and a long answer. Just short in terms of number of words. But a short answer and a long answer in terms of what exactly the Braisa is describing, which would allow us to move l'chatchila the wedding to Monday. So answer number one, Amar Rava, Dami Sartzva, Bala'ir. So the Gemara's first answer is Rava's answer, is that the Sartzva, the officers coming into the city. Hechidami. Now, I'm sorry, before I get to the Hechidami, the officers are coming in, meaning that you have an army coming through the town. Now, this is not an issue that we discussed in yesterday's daf. This is not an issue of, and they're going to want to sleep with the Kala. The issue over here is they're going to literally eat us out of house and home. Meaning that when the military comes through town, the expectation is, Baruch Hashem, we don't know from this, but over a good course of history, when armies came through town, the expectation was, is that you got to house them and you got to feed them. So the Gemara says that's exactly what's going on over here. So they're coming through town. We have a wedding prepared. We have a lot of food prepared. And the problem is that they're going to come and they're going to eat all the food. So if we know that they're coming, so what we could do is we could back the wedding up. Back it to Tuesday, and if necessary, we back it up to Monday. Now, hey, chidami. So the Gemara says, well, if they're passing through, so the Gemara says, so why don't we just not have the wedding and just push it off for another week? One week of push off to next Wednesday. So the Gemara says, Lo tricha dasi v'kava. So the Gemara says, no, the Braisa is describing a scenario where they're not just passing through, they're here and they're lingering. They're going to be here for a little bit. So begimo mi alechno. So the Gemara says, well, if they're coming on Wednesday, so why are we backing the wedding up all the way to Monday? Why not back the wedding up to Tuesday? So the Gemara says, Asparta dide begimo kasu. If they're coming on a Wednesday, so they have scouts that are going ahead of them. The scouts are coming in on a Tuesday, so therefore you can back it up to Monday. All right, the first answer of the Gemara, that's the end of the first answer, is that we are, if we have the wedding on Wednesday, the army that's coming through is going to eat all the food from the wedding, so therefore you can back it up to Tuesday, and if necessary, you back it up to Monday in Mutar Lagamri. It's totally permissible. Okay. Ibai Seima. The Gemara gives now a second answer. This second answer is going to take us through most of today's daf. Okay, most of today's daf is going to revolve around the second answer, as the Gemara now is looking for a case of ones, which would allow the wedding to take place not only on Tuesday, but even back on Monday. The second answer of the Gemara starts like this. My machmasa ones kidetanya. Gemara quotes a braisa. Harishaya pitu afu v'tavchu tavuch v'yenu mazog. The wedding is prepared. The bread is baked. The animal's already been shechted. The wine has already been diluted. Umeis aviv shechasan o ima shakala. Okay, you probably know a story some similar to this. I also know a story similar to this, but okay, it happens, right? Death is unpredictable, and so what could happen is that the father of the chasan or the mother of the kala die on the wedding day. So what do you do? Now, before we discuss what do you do, so let's just go over some very basic information so you understand what are the issues and what are the consideration. Okay, all this information we know already, but it's always good to go over and see what happens when you have basically two major life cycle, halachic life cycle events collide with one another. Okay, so first of all, let's start with a chasna. Chasna, so when a man and woman get married, so the day of the wedding obviously is very special, but in terms of halachically, how do we view the chasna? So it's like a yontif. The day of the marriage is like a yontif, and how long does the yontif extend? So how long does yontif generally extend for? Yontif generally extends for 7 days. Shavuos is strange. Right, there's a Ramban on Chumash, that Shavuos really is a culmination of Pesach. Which very supportable Ramban, because what do? We start counting on Pesach toward Shavuos. So the Ramban, see, you can see in the Chumash, it's in Parshas Emor. Ramban and Chumash says that Shavuos really is just a culmination of Pesach. So, but generally speaking, Yontif is 7 days. So when a Chas and Kala get married, so they have a personal Yontif for 7 days. We have a general term that describes that. It's called Sheva Brachos. But Sheva Brachos, however, is talking about not the number of days, the number of brachos. But it's also the number of days. There are 7 days that go into a chasna. And that yontif, generally speaking, what happens when yontif and avelis collides? What trumps what? Yontif trumps, is going to trump avelis. So here, so on one hand, talking about the chasna, so the chasna is a yontif. Okay, again, just gathering ourselves, getting all the information ready so that we can go into this brisa. Now let's talk about avelos. So, at the shas hamisa, at the time that somebody dies, so the krovim, the relatives, the shiva krovim, the seven relatives, are right now in a state of aninus. Okay, they're what's called an onin. And the state of onin, so they're patur and a mitzvah. If you remember the Gemara in Brachos, there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim: are they patur for the mitzvahs? Are they not allowed to do mitzvahs? Okay, that was a debate amongst the Rishonim back in Brachos. But in other words, they are exempt from doing mitzvahs. But they're not an avel. You don't start counting 7 days of avelos. When do you start counting 7 days of avelos? The end of today's daf, the beginning of tomorrow's daf. But generally speaking, burial. Okay, just right now with giving a very general definition. At the point of burial, so the person is no longer nonein, and now they're an avel. And for the next 7 days, you have avelos. During avelos, the moed katan wasn't that long ago in the daf. And the third parak of moed katan, the Gemara went through all the nihugi avelos. Included, of course, in the nihugi avelos is tashma shemitah, that a man and woman is not allowed to have relations with one another. So, with all that stated, I'll point it out now, it's an important discussion. It's not clear from the Gemara, and the Rishonim debated. We know that an Avel is not allowed to have Tashmish Shemitah. What about an Onin? Okay, it's an odd question. I know it's an odd question. But what about an Onin? Is an Onin prohibited Tashmish Shemitah? Let me just expand the question a little bit more. Is an Onin Asur Tashmish Shemitah? Does an Onin have any Nihuge Avelus? Meaning, is Onin and Avelos similar to one another? Or an Onin and an Avel, two totally separate halachic institutions? Right? Not clear from the Gemara. Certainly a question. Okay. And I'm not going to answer the question. It's a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. But it's something to think about as we go through this Gemara. Okay, so now that we have all the information ready, so now let's go. So it's a tragic scenario. It's a very sad scenario. It's joy and sadness mixed together. The Bryce describes that on the wedding day, so the father of the chasen or the mother of Kala are nifter that day. And later the Gemara is going to explain why specifically them, meaning this halacha is only going to be enacted only if it's specifically father of the chasen, mother of the Kala, and later we'll explain why that should be so. Okay, so what do you do? So the the Brisa says on top of that, all the food's been prepared. So now what do you do? So the Brisa says, here's what you do. You take the mace and you do not bury the mace. And the reason why we don't bury the mace is because we don't want avelos to start. So you take the mace and you put it aside. You put it in another room. And v'asachasim v'askala l'chuppah, you take the chasen and kala, you put them into the chuppah, meaning you go through with the marriage. Uboa bi'ilas mitzvah, and they have the first act of bi'ilas mitzvah, uparesh, and then they separate from one another, v'noheg, And now, Shiva Yemei HaMishter, 7 days of Sheva Brachos, V'achar Kach Noi Shiva Yemei Avelos, and then afterwards, 7 days of Avelos. Okay. First things first, let's discuss why father the chasan and mother the kala. That you can see Rashi. The Rashi on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis writes, "Dafka nakat aviv shel chasan shu atorech b'tzarchet seuda." So the father of the chasan says Rashi because he's heavily responsible with the actual wedding, the food, and the writing of the checks. And so the father plays a very important and irreplaceable role in the wedding. The ima shel kala, and Rashi says, as far as the mother of the kala is concerned, he hamechina la tachshitin. She also is irreplaceable, as she is the one who prepared her daughter for the chasna. So lefichach im yavra moed. So now, what do we do if we're going to now postpone the wedding and delay? So shuv ein mechin lahem. So now you have two very critical people who were frankly irreplaceable, and so we have an opportunity, a small, tiny window of opportunity to do the wedding now. We'll do the wedding now. The tir lam lachdis is a mesa cheder, and therefore Rashi goes on to write the mesa is placed into another room. Shalik baru din kein chalavelos. Because here's what's happened: the first thing we were to do was bury the body, then avelos would begin, and once avelos begins, so din kein chalavelos shalava b'stim asagol kedal kaman v'shuv lo yachol. Then we'd have to wait for Avelos to end, and then and only then could we have the chasna. So therefore, we do everything while they're in a state of aninus. Okay, I'll make a general comment, which is just an obvious observation from the Gemara, that the Chachamim clearly are making a kula leniency over here. They are much more prepared to tinker with aninus than they are with Avelos. It's clear, it's obvious from the Gemara, that they're much more prepared to tinker with aninus than they are with avelos, obviously. Because just what Rashi said, all I'm doing is just, I'm just repeating Rashi, but you know, in a broader sense. That the Rashi describes how, if they were to bury the body, then avelos starts, and then that's it. Untouchable. Absolutely untouchable. So therefore, what we do is we put the body aside, and then they go with the marriage, and they have tashmish shemitah, and now they're married, and now yontif started. And again, yontif in this context means sheva brachos, meaning again every time a chas and kala get married, it's a personal yontif. Now yontif begins. Now they start the sheva yemei mishta, and then afterwards, and of course, by the way, meaning immediately after the marriage, then you do the burial. But just like Yontif pushes off Avelos, here too, their personal Yontif is also going to push off Avelos. And so I'm just making a general observation. The Chachamim were much more prepared to tinker with Aninus than they are with Avelos. Yes. Of course it's an issue. It's one of the overriding issues. Again, you have over here many different colliding forces with one another. So what the Braisa here is doing is navigating through all these different forces. The Chasan and Kala, irreplaceable people died, the pushing off of a wedding, Avelis. And in other words, there are many things that are now coming together at a singular point. So, you know, what about this? What about that? That's exactly what's happening right now. The Chachamim are navigating through.
But if it's the mother of the groom, you would postpone the wedding.
Yes. She's more... I'm sounding crass, but she's more replaceable. I mean, in other words, yeah, okay.
Mother of the groom, I'm sorry.
Mother of the groom.
Groom and all the...
Okay. All right, so that's where we are. Bol v'ez mitzvah parish. V'noeg back, and now it's just going back to the... Yeah.
Mother of the groom. So if the mother of the groom died...
So then everything gets pushed off. In other words, the father of the groom was the one who was responsible for the wedding. He's the one who wrote the checks and dealt with the food. And so, again, we're not talking about what the common practice is now, but Bizman HaGemara, those are the people who are responsible. And because they were chiefly responsible and they just died, so if we postpone the wedding, we're going to be doing it now without the father of the groom and without the mother of the kala, and it's going to be very difficult. Doable, obviously, but it's going to be very difficult. So it's going to be a lost opportunity if we don't do the wedding now.
Because I've seen one where it was the mother who died that morning, and they.
I understand the right. It changes in the sense that You know, the Gemara had clearly defined roles of who was responsible for what. Nowadays, those, you know, those roles aren't exactly the same. Okay.
If the opposite happened, you, Rashi,
I read that before you came, before you got here. I read the Rashi. Rashi says it's tafka, specifically these two. Okay, back to the Gemara. Back to the Gemara. And this is still a continuation of the Brice. We're in Dalam and Aleph, we're three lines down from the top. Now, during those days, and during all those days, meaning, as Rashi points out, even the Mea Mishta, so they sleep in separate rooms. And they cannot be miyachid, they cannot be together alone in a room. Now that's a very it seems to be a very strange point of the Gemara, because they had bia, they had relations. Generally speaking, husband and wife, even when they're prohibited to one another. So they don't have to be in separate rooms, right? They have to be separated, but they don't have to be in separate rooms. So the way the Bryce is presenting itself right now, it sounds strange that even though they had bia, they have to be in separate rooms. Later the Gemara is going to deal with that.
But If the chatan is an owner, why is he doing the mitzvah bilad?
Because the chachamim say it's okay.
I mean, you can't. I mean that the owner is like the midoraita, the first 24 hours of the midoraita.
The day the yom hamisa is min haTorah. Again, I know I understand the chachamim under these circumstances. Again, if the circumstances are such that it's extenuating circumstances, so the chachamim allowed for extenuating halacha. All right, it's a real time of need. So the ein monin tachshitim in a kala kol shoshim yom, and the kala is allowed to put on makeup for the 30 days. In other words, she's a newlywed, and she is very self conscious about how she looks in front of her new husband. So even though she's an avel, she could still put on makeup during that time period.
Yeah. That the chachamim can do it. Chachamim can do it for klali, you know, for. Large number of people, not just for one person.
Okay, so again, we're gonna. What this Bryce is doing is it's forcing us to rethink. I don't know about rethink, but in this particular scenario, the Chachamim did it. I made the point in the beginning. I'm aware. I realize that.
What prevents from this to applying to all other situations?
Like because I think it's.
The Rabbanan can override.
I mean, we're talking about a death and a wedding, concurring on the same day. I don't know if people are really going to extend that to any other scenario. I can't imagine. Okay, so the dafka of shachasan or imoshakala the lekinish the tarach lehu aval ipchalal. I point it to Rashi. The Brisa says it. The Brisa says that specifically the father the chasan and the mother kala. All right. Amar Rav Ram Bar Papa Amar Rav Chista Lo Shanu Ela Shanasa Mayim Agabe Basar. Now, this dispensation, this special heter that was afforded by the rabbis. And by the way, before we go on in the Gemara, let's not lose the forest because of all these trees. And there are a lot of trees over here, and the trees are very thick, and the branches are very dense, and there's a lot of halachas. But just from the more global aspect of the Gemara, this answers our question. Our original question of this morning was, when the Braisa says that the wedding can be moved back up to Monday because of an one, so what's the Braisa talking about? So answer number one was that the army's coming through and they're going to eat us out of house and home, and they're going to eat the wedding meal. The second answer of the Gemara is this case over here. If this were to occur where there was a death and it was Monday, let's say, and the wedding, of course, was planned for Wednesday because that's when the Chachamim told us to get married. But the death occurred on Monday, and it's either the father of the Chassan, the mother of the Kala, so then you can even have the wedding on Monday, Lechatchila, right? This is the case of onus that the Braisa was describing, and that's the second answer of the Gemara. Okay, that was just and now that we know that, now let's go back into the Gemara. The Gemara is going to be discussing the details of this halacha, where the wedding is allowed, even though right now there's a death in the family, and specifically mother the kala or the chasana or father the chasan. The Gemara says, I'm going to go back to Amar of Chista. Amar of Chista lo shanu lo shanasa mayin al gabe basar v'lo nasa mayin al gabe basar. If there was no water placed on the meat, mizdabein. So now salvageable, because what you could do is that you could sell the meat if the water is not placed on the meat. I don't fully understand water on the meat. It just simply means, what I do understand is that once you put the water on the meat, so now if you don't cook the meat right away, so then the meat's going to spoil. Okay. Amar Rava v'krach alfa bishon asamayin agave basim es damin. So Rava says, if you live in a big city with a high population and a lot of commercial activity, so then even if you put water on the meat, so then it's not a problem, because you're living in a big city, right? There'll be plenty of people who can buy the meat right now, even though the water's on the meat, and even though the meat is going to expire in the very near future. Rav Papa says, if you live in a village, really out of town, so then, even if you didn't put water on the meat, but who are you going to sell the meat to? Meaning the animal shechted, the meat's decaying. So who are you going to sell the meat to? So even if you didn't put water on the meat, so then you can go through with the wedding. So the Gemara says, so Rav Chista, who makes the distinction of, if you put water on the meat, so then you go through with the wedding. If you don't put water on the meat, then you don't go through the wedding. What's Rav Chista talking about? We just established, in a big city, you can always sell the meat. In a small town, you can never sell the meat. So what's he talking about? So Amar Ravashi could go mas mechasya, de mafka mikrach, mafka mikfar. So answers the Gemara, Ravashi says, we're talking about the city of mas mechasya, it's right in the middle. It's not out of town, it's not the city, it's somewhere in between. All right. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Chista, the Gemara says, I have a brisa supporting this distinction of Rav Chista. The Gemara is going to quote now another brisa, which is essentially going to go over the same basic points. The reason why we're quoting this other brisa is because we're going to see this distinction of whether you put water on the meat or whether you do not put water on the meat. Bread is baked, animal shechted, wine has been diluted, and water has been put on the meat. That's the reason why we quoted the brisa. And the father, the groom, or the mother, or the kala dies, you put the mace into another room. And allow the chasan and go through with the marriage. And allow them to have the first act of intimacy. And then they separate. And 7 days of Sheva Brachos. And seven, follow them by 7 days of Avelos. And all those days. He sleeps amongst the men, she sleeps amongst the women. And similarly, I'm going to highlight that word, v'chein. You'll see why in just a moment, but right, highlight that word. Misha Pirso Isha Nida. Let's say at the wedding the wife was a Nida, which obviously prevented the husband and wife from consummating the marriage. Hu Yashamein Anashim, he should have been Anashim. So too, even though they're married and even though they went through with the wedding, but still, because they didn't consummate the marriage, so therefore he has to sleep amongst the men, she amongst the women. Ve'ein monin tachshitim in akala kol amid yom. This brisa makes the same point as the previous brisa, which is that for those first 30 days she could still wear makeup even though she's an Avel. Ben kach lo yival lo be'er. And then this brisa concludes with Bia Rishona cannot occur on Friday night, nor can it occur on Motzei Shabbos. And later in tomorrow's daf, we're going to discuss why not Motzei Shabbos. Friday night, we already talked about. We're going to talk about more tomorrow, and Motzei Shabbos we're going to talk about also tomorrow as well. Okay, as long as we're here, let me just introduce you to a very interesting machlokas, which Rashi weighs in on, and that is the following. As we have seen in the Gemara now twice over today, so far today, in both brisas, so when they are, they're going to go through with the marriage, and then they're going to have bias mitzvah, and then they're going to bury the body. Now, in terms of what happens next, what do the brisas say? The brisa says that they're going to have the sheva brachos, which is a yantiv for them, it's a personal yantiv, followed then by avelus. What do the brisas say? That during that entire period of time, so they have to, they're separated from one another. Okay. God forbid, somebody has a karov who dies on yantiv. So we all know the halacha. We went through Moed Katan, and we've also lived on this earth. So we all know the halacha. The halacha is that the funeral is done, obviously, during Chol HaMoed. And we had a discussion back in Beitza whether or not you could do a burial on Yantav as well. But you'll do the burial on Chol HaMoed. And then as far as Avelis is concerned, Avelis gets pushed off. Okay. So, after the burial, until when you start Avelis after Yantav, what's happening there? Okay, what's happening there is Yantav. Are you knowing any form of Avelis during after the burial, but before you actually counting the Yemei Avelus?
Public and private.
Public and private. Is there any distinction? Basic machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says that no Avelus whatsoever. Meaning Yontif totally will trump Avelus. And the Rambam is of the opinion that there is no, there's zero Avelus whatsoever. Meaning if the way it was described to me, it's great. No, great. Meaning it's a very clear way to understand it. The Rambam never segregates counting avelus and practicing avelus. The counting and the practice of avelus always goes hand in hand according to the Rambam. And so therefore, according to the Rambam, if the counting of avelus is pushed off to after Yontif, so is all the nihugi avelus as well. Therefore, according to the Rambam, after burial for the remainder of Yontif, zero avelus whatsoever. Not publicly and not even privately. No. We're just talking about the 7 days of avelus. Yeah. We're talking about Shiva. So according to...
You do 7 days after?
After. You do 7 days after.
Oh.
And according to the Rambam, between the burial and the avelus, when the avelus starts, nothing, zero. The Ramban says absolutely not. The Ramban forcefully disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ramban says no. During Yontif itself, you're noheg, you practice avelus shebitzina. All the private practices of avelus, including, of course, Tashmish Shemitah, which is a big discussion in today's daf, so that is practiced during that period of time. Our Gemara right now seems to support who? The Rambam or the Ramban? Seems to be a big support for the Ramban. In just a moment, and the reason why I'm talking about it right now is because we're about to read a Gemara that's going to clearly side with the Ramban. But just in terms of what we've seen so far, Gemara seems to support the Ramban. And not only does the Gemara seem to support the Ramban, but Rashi says it straight out. Meaning, what does our Gemara say? That the bury the body, and now it's Yontif. Now again, in this case, it's a personal Yontif. But okay, but we're going to call it Yontif. And what happens? They can't engage in Tashmish Shemitah. Right. Because even though they are not yet practicing Avelus, Avelus is postponed until after Sheva Brachos, even though that is so, but Dvarim Shebitzina, but private matters are still, they're going to practice Avelus on private matters. And I'll show you a Rashi. Rashi says it straight out on this daf. So Rashi starts at the top of the page. Rashi Hu Yashan. Rashi writes, they can't have yichud with one another because they may have relations. Aval also betash mishamita. We know that an aval cannot be intimate. Kediyaf in Bayel Magalchin. Quotes the third parak of Moed Katan. The Av b'shivas yamei amishta shein karegel. Noegu avelus shall divrate sinna. Rashi writes that even during Sheva Brachos, even though for them it's a personal yantiv, but dvarim shall b'tzina, private matters are kept during this yantiv period. Dehainu isra tashmish kedelakaman. So Rashi here certainly sides with the Ramban that even though we're not counting yet the yamei avelus, but the dvarim shall b'tzina are practiced during the Sheva Brachos. Okay, so it's a major debate.
According to Rambam, said you do the moed for 7 days, and then you start the 7 days, and then the 30 days start at the.
No, the third.
The 7 days of Chag is included in the 30 days or not?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's an excellent question. I don't know the answer. Where Shloshim start? For what point Shloshim starts? I should know the answer. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. Off the top of my head, I don't. On this issue, the halacha falls like the Ramban, but the okay. So now v'chein. Sorry, let's go back to the Gemara. So, v'lom etzer Shabbos. Amamar, hu yosha mein anashim, yishin mein anashim, esayil l'Rav Yochanan. The Gemara says that during Sheva Brachos, so they have to sleep in separate rooms. So the Gemara says it supports Rav Yochanan. Dam Rav Yochanan, af apisha amar ein avelos b'moed, even though we don't start avelos on Yontif. But, aval dvarim shebitzina, no heg, but you practice dvarim shebitzina. Now, right? It's you know, usually when the Rambam states a halacha, so the Gemara usually says it straight out, the Gemara supports it, or you could read a Gemara very critically meaning, you know, a critical reading of the Gemara, and it can be difficult for the Rambam. You don't normally have this, where the Rambam says a halacha and the Gemara goes directly against what the Rambam says. What the Gemara over here says, you know, even though, of course, you're not practicing avelus on Yontif, but dvarim shebitzina that you do practice on Yontif. Right. And the obvious question is, what's the Rambam going to do with this Gemara over here? Okay. The Arishonim have a different gears than the Gemara, but right now, okay, let's move on. Let's finish the daf. Darsh Rav Yosef braid the Rav Mishmei the Rav Aloshanu Aloshalo Baal. Ava Baal Ishto Yishen Imo. So the Gemara says that this halacha that we just said, that they must be separated, is only if they did not have relations. But And if they did not, if they have not yet had relations, so their Yetzer Hara is very strong, right? Rashi writes, the Tukiv Le Yitzrei. But if they already had relations, so then the husband and the wife, they could they don't have to be in separate rooms. They could still be in the same room together. And the fact that they had relations, that you know, it diminishes a little bit the Yetzer Hara, and they could, and were confident enough to know that they'll just simply wait until Avelus is over.
Besides the bride and the groom, everybody else is also sleeping separately. What's their story?
No. It's just a reference to the bride and groom. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't understand our case over here that we're dealing with. Isn't it clear in our case that they had relations? Meaning, isn't it the whole point? And they're being separated. So Kikamar Pirsa Ishtanida. So the Gemara says, no, the halacha that they sleep in separate rooms is only going on the case where she was Anita at the wedding. Then and only then do they have to sleep in separate rooms. But if they already had Bia, so then they don't have to be in separate rooms. Ha Vechain Kitani, the Gemara says, yeah, but what about the word Vechain? Remember in the Brisa, it said the word Vechain, I emphasized it, meaning the Brisa seems to be drawing a parallel between the case where she was Anita at the time of the wedding and the very unusual circumstance where there was a death in the family and still they went through with the wedding and they had Bia. And it sounds like in both cases they need to be placed in separate rooms. Hachi kamar. The Gemara says that's not what it means. We're on the top of Dalam and Beis. V'chein misha pirso ishto nida v'lo ba'al hu yashamein anashim ishto yashamein anashim. So the Gemara says that no, that what it means is that the v'chein is going on the case where he was parished, his wife was anida, and they didn't have relations. In that case, so he sleeps with the men and she sleeps with the women, meaning that the only in the case where they did not have relations, then and only then do they have to sleep in separate rooms. Lememra davelos kila leminida. Gemara says, it's a little bit strange. Avelos is more lenient than that of Nida. So, meaning that in the case of Nida, so we said that they needed, that if they had relations, they needed, in the case of Nida, if they had relations, so then they don't need to be separated. In the case of Nida, if they didn't have relations, so then they do need to be separated. Fine. Now we go back to the case of Avo. What do we say in the case of Avo? They always have to be separated. The Gemara says, that's unusual. Why should that be? So, Lamema Davelus Kilalei Minida, Va'ama Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Chanina, Amar Avuna. Koma Lecha Sheisha Oselabala, Nida Oselabala. Let's compare Nida and Avelus. Now again, what are we doing? We are trying to figure out how the Halacha treats, meaning in both cases, both in Nida and in Avelus, there's a prohibition of intimacy. Tashmish Shemitah is prohibited. Okay, by Nida, it's what kind of issa are we talking about? It's an issa d'araisa, it's an issa karis. By Avelus, what are we talking about? Issa d'rabbanan. The first day of Avelus is debatable whether that's d'araisa or d'rabbanan. That's also machlokas rishonim. But the but generally speaking, though, the issa of tashmish shemitah during Avelus is an issa d'rabbanan. But the common denominator between the two is that there's an issa tashmish shemitah. Now, again, what do we see in the braisa? In the case of Nida, they only need to separate if they never engaged in relations. In the case of Avelus, they always have to separate. What's the difference? Now, I'll give away the answer. The difference is very simple. Spoiler alert. The difference is very simple. The case of Avelus is not a general case of Avelus. It's a highly unusual case of Avelus, one in which we pushed off the Avelus. So it's like a nidche, if you will. So what the Gemara is doing right now is the Gemara is thinking that we're discussing this b'derech klal. We're generally comparing Avelus and Nida. What the Gemara will realize later on is it's not a general comparison. But right now we're in the Havamin of the Gemara where we're thinking we're making a general comparison. So the Gemara says, so let's compare the two. So I'm just going to back up one line. Kol malachos. She'isha osalabala, Nida osalabala. Chutz. So a woman serves her husband, and she does so in the normal way, with exception of mezigas hakos v'asasamita v'chatzus panav yada v'ragla, except for the dilution of the wine, a neither cannot do for her husband, nor making the bed, nor washing his hands, face and feet. V'ilu gabe avelos tanya. Now compare that to avelos, and what do we learn? Afa bishamar ein adam rasha lachof es ishto lios kochas lios pokases. Even though they said that a man is not allowed to force his wife to put on makeup when she's in avel, but still she could serve him in the way that she normally serves him. So what do you see? Meaning we just put nida and avel side by side. Where are we more makel? We're more makel by avelos, not by nida. So it's a little bit strange that in the context of separating the two of them, we're more makel by nida than that of avelos, but over here we're being more makel by avelos. So the Gemara says, "Lokasha." The Gemara says it's not a difficulty. Kan be'avelos di day, kan be'avelos di da. Gemara says, well, maybe we could strike a distinction between who's an avel. He's an avel versus she's an avel. The Gemara says, how could you say that? Look at the previous brisa, what started this whole discussion going. In the event that somebody dies, who's the somebody that died? Either the mother of the kala or the father of the chasan. The brisa was dealing with either one of them becoming an avel. So ki ketani ashara. So the Gemara right now is still trying to defend, and the Gemara is saying, well, maybe what the brisa means on all the other halachas, they're equal. But in terms of the halachas of separation, maybe we're going to strike a distinction. And by the way, let's spell it out. Why would there be a difference whether he's an avel or she's an avel? So it has to do with the general yetzahara of a man versus a woman. The yetzahara of a man is stronger than that of a woman. Right, stronger or more uncontrollable, or however you want to say it. So the difference is that when he's an avel, okay, obviously he's very sad, but his yetzer is still very strong. So therefore they need separation. But if she's an avel, so she'll be able to maintain the iser of tashmish shemitah during the avel. So right now the Gemara is thinking such a distinction can be drawn out. The Gemara says, really? Are we really prepared to make a distinction between the two? That time the Gemara says, but look at the brisa. Misha meets chamivo chamoso. Let's say someone's mother-in-law, father-in-law died. And you chalach chofesish leos kochalos yos pokeses. So he can't force his wife to put on makeup. She's an avel. Ella kofa mitasov and oegimo avelos. What does he do? He turns over his own bed. Right. Remember the third parak of Moed Katan. He does a non-practiced form of avelos. In other words, not practiced nowadays. But they would do is they would turn over the bed. And the husband, even though it's his wife who's sitting Shiva, but the husband, while in her presence, would be Noah Gavelis. Vechein he, Shemeitz Chamiel Chamosa. And the same thing would be true if she lost her mother-in-law, father-in-law, meaning her husband's mother or father died. Einer Ashalios Kochaz Yos Pokesas. She also can't put on makeup, even though she's not the one sitting Shiva. Ela Kofa Mitasava, Noah Gesimah Avelos. What is she going to do? She's going to be Noah Gavelos. What do you see? Is see in this brisa, we're not going to make a distinction whether he's the one being an avel or she's the one being an avel. So Gemara says, Tini be'avelos di day hu yasha bein anashim v'ishto yishena bein anashim. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is that when we read the brisa, we're going to read the brisa of when he's an avel, they're going to have to separate. Ha v'chein ketani, the Gemara says again, though it says the word v'chein, seemingly drawing a parallel. So ki ketani akichol v'apirkos. So the Gemara says when it says v'chein, it means her putting on makeup, meaning the common denominator of whether he or she's an avel, she's not allowed to put on makeup. In terms of which rooms they could sleep in, if he's an avel, they got to sleep in separate rooms. If she's an avel, they could sleep in the same room. V'ha imo ketani. So my love imo b'mita lo imo b'bayis. Or doesn't it say imo? It means imo. Just simply means in the same house. Rav says to his son the following: Be'apa, while your wife is in avel and you're together with her, noeg avelta avilusa. So you should be noeg avelus. The lo be'apa, but when you're not with her, lo tenoeg avilusa. That's all it means. It just simply means that when you're proximate to her, so you should be noeg avelus. Okay. I'll breathe, just come up for air. What the Gemara is now attempting to do is try to understand how it sounded like previously we're more machmer by avelus than we are by nida. By avelus, what did we argue? That Not what do we argue? What was the halacha? They have to be in separate rooms. Even if they already had bia, they have to be in separate rooms. By nida, what do we say? Nah. Unless they at the chasna they didn't have bia, they didn't have tashmish shemitah, so then they have to be in separate rooms. But by nida, they don't have to be separated. On the other hand, we know there's a whole other series of halachas where we're going to be more machmir by nida than we are by avel. By an avel, if the wife's an avel, she could serve her husband and do all the normal things that she does to serve her husband. By nida, she can't. So where are we more machmir, where are we more mekel? That was the question. What the Gemara tried to do is force a distinction of, well, it depends whether he's an avel or she's an avel. If he's an avel, they have to separate rooms. If she's an avel, they don't. That's what the Gemara attempted to do. Now, finally, the Gemara is going to come around full circle, and the Gemara is going to say the question really never even got off the ground. Rav Ashi Amar, mi kamedamis avelusa da hacha la avelusa da alma. How can you compare this particular case of avelus and avelus in general? Avelusa da alma chamor velos elizazuleba. Generally speaking, we're sensitive to avelus, meaning we know the halachas of avelus, we're sensitive to avelus. And a husband and wife are trusted that they're not going to have tashmish shemitah. There's an issur to have tashmish shemitah, and generally they're going to comply. We're not worried about that. They don't have to be separate into separate rooms. Avelusa d'hacha, but over here it's different. And why is it different over here? Avelusa d'hacha. I'm sorry, I lost my spot. Avelusa d'hacha la avelusa d'ama. Avelusa d'ama chamar v'los lezul be'avelus. Sorry, I reread. D'hacha came into akilu rabbanan. The Gemara says, but over here, it was a very unusual case, and we were mekel by avelus, and because we were mekel by avelus, so we need to counterbalance. We see this from time to time in the daf, where sometimes because of a specific leniency, so the counterbalance is that we're going to be extra stringent. Here's a good example. My kila. So the Gemara says, first of all, what does that mean we're a mekel? Elam diktani bol b'elos mitzvah parish. Is it that we allow them to have relations? Yes, that was a kula. But going back to the beginning of today's daf, that was a kula in avelus? No. The avelus didn't begin yet. That was a kula regarding aninus. The Gemara makes exactly that point. Hasa mishum delo chal alav avelusa. There, avelus didn't begin. So, Ila Rabbi Elazar Shiyetze Mi Pesach Habayis. When does Avelus begin? On the way to the cemetery? Or the Rabbi Yoshua Shiyetze Magolo? Or when you put the lid on top of the body? So it's a machlokis, and truth of the matter is later, I think tomorrow, we're going to discuss more of this halacha, of when exactly Avelus begins, but point is that Avelus for sure didn't begin yet. So the Gemara says, you know what the kula was? We didn't start Avelus when we should have. When should we have started Avelus? After you bury the body. In this particular case, what do we do? Sheva brachos. First, we allow them to enjoy sheva brachos. I'm going to say enjoy. Understood in this context, it's going to be a very stressful sheva brachos. But you postpone Avelus for a week, and then and only then you started Avelus. So now, in this particular scenario, Avelus was tampered with. Tampered with, not the best way to say it. But Avelus was pushed off. It was like a nidche. So, in this particular case, that's why they need to be separated from one another. Both during the Sheva Brachos and during Avelus as well. Generally speaking, a husband and wife don't need to be separated during Avelus. Okay, that's where the Gemara lands, that's where the Gemara concludes. Okay, let's recap. Today's daf, we started with the question of when the Braisa says that you can move a wedding back to Monday. Why are we moving the wedding back to Monday? To which the Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one, the army's coming through town, they're going to eat the wedding, they're going to eat all the food of the wedding, and so therefore the wedding can be pushed back up to Tuesday, and even if necessary, Monday. Answer number two of the Gemara, when the Braisa describes Ones, is that we're talking about a very unusual and highly emotional scenario in which, on the day of the wedding, the chasan of the father, the chasan, and the mother, Kala, die. So under these circumstances, the Braisa says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go through with the wedding, and then you will have the two of them being bol bilas mitzvah. Then you will bury the body. Then you'll do Shevis Yimei Mishnah and Shevis Yimei Avelus. And for the duration of the remainder of the daf, the Gemara then dealt with the halacha of what exactly occurs during this time period in terms of Tashmin Shemitah. And then the Gemara thought that even though the Braisa says that they're separated, this is a general halacha for Avelus. And then the Gemara concluded that no, this is not a general halacha. Generally for Avelus, a husband and wife do not have to be separated into separate rooms. They could still be in the same room. They need to be separate, of course, because Tashmin Shemitah is Aser, but they don't have to be placed in separate rooms. In this particular halacha, because the Chachamim were makel by Avelus, so therefore, in this particular scenario, they have to be placed into separate rooms.